A lot of times there are songs in my head and I look for confirmation. And, you know, this morning I think Luke took both of them. The one at the end of the breaking of bread service. Teach me my way, O Lord. I really like that one, you know. And then the opening, this one, the one in the family Bible hour, to God be the glory. Those are very nice songs. So I had two pieces of cake this morning. Oh. Some more, and then a big cup of coffee to wash it down. Dan. So I'm already, I don't know about you, you know, I'm fine with the sermon. We'll find out at the end. It was a particular challenging week to try to put together the sermon for this morning. As usual, there are things happening left, right, and center, distracting me from the task. There were many demands for my time that really stressed me out. Every time that I sat down working on my message, guess what? I cannot clear my mind of all the background noises and interference. I feel that I'm in a wrestling match with Steve being my partner. Every time he texts me, signaling that he wants me to go into the ring, both of us are tired, but there seems to be no relief in sight. I could ignore his tag and look the other way, you know, but it is not fair to him. And it is amidst these trying circumstances that God is teaching me. The first words that pop into my mind is the following. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. There should be less of my own effort and more of his might. I need to do things with God's strength, not mine. I need to fully depend on him. God would not put me in a situation where I was left holding the bag. He is faithful, holding me up right until the task is done. Another verse popped into my head, 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I need to let God take over. The only thing that I need to do is to let go of all my problems and worries and hand them over to him. The less that I hold on, the better it gets, until I don't need to hold on to any of my burdens and care. What a joy it is to know that God is there when I face the difficulties and challenges of life, big and small. May I see less of me and more of God in every situation. May I taste and know the inner sweetness of the very God himself in the core and center of my heart. Another verse slips into my mind. John 3:30. He, meaning Christ, must increase, but I must decrease. The picture is clear to me now. God is pointing out that I need to focus less and less on self and more on him. I need to magnify him until he eclipses everything else, including me. I know that God must increase and that I must decrease. But how do I go about decreasing? I need to fix my gaze on none other than my beloved Savior, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Every time that I read this verse, I'm amazed that the word joy was used here and it was associated with crucifixion. How can there be joy in suffering? How can there be joy in pain? How can there be joy in shame? How can there be joy in dying? Yet our All-knowing God can see the end from the beginning. He can see things from a heavenly perspective. Looking unto Jesus is definitely not a casual glance. It is an intense gaze on Christ through the serious reading of Scripture, meditation on His precious words, and fellowship with Him through prayers, and journeying with Him through obedience. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We can fully trust Him with our lives. Christ must increase, but I must decrease. Christ can increase in my life when I think like Him. Then I can decrease when I learn His humility. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but make himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I thank God for the way He guided me in the preparation of today's sermon. To God be the glory. The humility of Christ led Him to die for you and me. If I am going to be like Christ, I also need to be humble. In order to help me to decrease, Christ has set the ultimate example for His followers. I need to die to self. This morning, the theme of my message is dying to self. It is divided into two parts. The first part lists Christ's command to His followers, and the second part gives example of the apostles' teachings. Part one, the process of dying to self or denying self were taught in three of the four gospels. This is given as a condition in following Christ. It is not optional. It is hard because it involves us bearing our crosses. And anyone who bears the cross has said goodbye to his families. Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Matthew 10:38 and 39. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And again in Mark chapter 8, verse 34 and 35. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, and the Gospels, the same shall save it. Dying to self has divine purpose. It helps us to bear fruits. John 12:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Part 2. The Apostle Paul clearly taught that we, as Christ followers, need to recognize that we have been crucified with Christ. And we have to remember this fact on a continual basis. Christ must increase, but I must decrease. I can only decrease by dying to self. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The most effective way to deal with self is to nail all our wishes and wants to the cross. Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. The Apostle Paul further taught us in Romans that we have to be dead unto sin so that we are alive in God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Dying to self is only way to become his servant. Dying to self is the only way of bearing fruit. So if you have your Bible ready, we are going to read Romans, the whole chapter 6, verse 1 to 23. So take a moment to flip over to Romans chapter 6. Verse 1. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 7. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 13. Neither shall ye your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but you yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the hearts that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of man because of the infirmity of your flesh. But as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servant to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit have ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruits unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Apostle Paul admonished us to think less of ourselves and more of others. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Looking not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. The Apostle Paul not only admonished us to die to self, but setting himself to be an example. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. We can only serve God when His glory matters, not ours. Before our service is acceptable, we need to die to self. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Apostle Paul gave some practical principles and guidelines for us to follow to keep self out of the picture. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 1 to 11. First Peter, chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of man, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walk in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Verse 6. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to man in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as God, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And finally, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be the praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. My sermon has only barely touched the subject of dying to self. I strongly urge you to study this matter from the scripture and obey the commandments of the Lord. Go through the teachings of the apostles and put this dying to self into practice. But don't try to do this on your own strength, because you are bound to fail. Pray earnestly and fervently. Surrender and submit yourself to the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit as He accompanies you on this incredible journey. As always, there are three more verses I'd like to leave with you. The first one is 1 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And Colossians 3:3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ our God. Last but not least, Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. David, can I ask you to close in prayer, and then we're going to sing three hymns afterwards, okay?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message that you have laid on your servant Christ's heart. May we take these scriptures that have been presented to us today, apply them to our lives. May we learn to truly die to self and live for you. We ask that you would part us this week and go out and share the gospel with everyone. We ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
The first hymn we're going to sing is 405 in the red hymnal.